buying behavior has changed. Prospects don't click on links in emails anymore, and they don't watch the videos you spend hours creating every week. Instead, send personalized gifts and memes using VidYou. You can quickly create engaging, personalized content that immediately grabs your prospect's attention, helps you stand out in the inbox, and does it all without forcing them to click anything or go anywhere. Head over to vidyou.io/salescast to sign up for free and spend less time getting your messages across and more time selling.
Welcome to The Sales Hustle, the only no BS podcast where we bring you the real, raw, uncut experiences from sales change makers across various industries. The only place where you can get what you're looking for to up your sales game. Today's episode is brought to you by Salescast. Salescast helps sales professionals transform the relationship building process and win their dream clients. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell.
All right, what is happening? Sales Hustlers, welcome to another episode. Really excited today. I've got Marcus Chan for today's episode. He's the founder of the Venley Consulting Group. He helps B2B sales professionals sell more and sell better without needing years of experience through his coaching and training programs. Marcus is an executive member of the Forbes Business Council and has also been featured in Forbes, Yahoo Finance, MarketWatch, Salesforce, and as a LinkedIn top voice for his results. So definitely going to be dropping some fire today. Marcus, welcome to the show. How you doing?
Colin, what's up, man? Excited to be here. We're going to drop some bombs, hopefully, for you sales hustlers out there to be able to execute right after today's podcast.
Awesome, man. I'm excited. I know that we're going to have fun. So just before we get into what we decided to talk about today, which we literally planned like 30 seconds ago, is how to use LinkedIn the right way. And we're going to jam out on some top of funnel stuff as well, which are topics I know you love talking about. So give the sales hustlers just the short version of your sales story.
Yeah, super simple, right? So first off, I wasn't one of those quote-unquote born salespeople. I actually grew up with a speech impediment, struggled speaking for years, had to go to special classes as well. And when I got into sales, it was purely by accident. Just got into it. I wasn't sure I'd be any good or not. Eventually, figured it out. It was B2B sales directly, direct sales, phone work, email, cold calling, cold to prospect to close, everything, all, full cycle. Fortunately, had some pretty good success. Got promoted 10 times in 10 years in corporate America. A lot of fun. In my last role, I had a large sales org of 100 plus employees. We did about 9 figures a year in revenue every single year. That was pretty cool. And then I decided to quit all of that and start my own business about 19 months ago and go all in helping B2B sales reps sell and earn more. And it's been an incredible journey since. Challenging, but fun. But that's my short version of the sales story because it could easily make a 30-minute conversation, but I cut down just for you.
Yeah, I always have to preface to keep it short because, you know, salespeople, it's hard to get them to shut up sometimes. thanks for giving us a little context there and setting the stage. So I'm curious, was there any like mentors that kind of helped shape you in the beginning of your sales career or, you know, what has kind of like molded what you're now teaching folks?
Yeah, so I think early on, when I was struggling, it was really tough because I was in a startup division of a big company and there wasn't, you know, all the people that I was assigned mentors and stuff like that, they were like, it was like the blind leading the blind. Like they'd never done the job, never done B2B sales, hadn't sold for years. And they're like, hey, it's a numbers game. Just, you know, smile and dial. You know, the more hands you shake, the more money you make. Very, very old school.
Throw some shit on the wall.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, okay, that doesn't make any sense. So early on, some of my early mentors were like just these authors of books, like reading books, like some of these. And it wasn't about reading and doing these old school tactics, but it was understanding sales psychology and like human intelligence and how people actually process and how people actually buy. You know, so books. You know, some of the classic, you know, Brian Tracy, Zig Ziglar, to started going to like, you know, Tony Robbins, you know, Waking the Giant Within, to reading books about emotional intelligence and how people think. That was really, really key early on. And I had other mentors from a more business life perspective that was key and that really helped me a lot. But a lot of it was really trial and error. Early on was a lot of trial and error to kind of figure it out. And that was hard. It was really hard. And I think this is why I believe some people quit sales because easy in, easy out. Low barrier entry, easy in, easy out. So fortunately, I stuck it through and I was able to have success. And then I was also really fortunate in the sense of, because I got promoted pretty early on, learning how to understand how I did, why it worked, forced me to figure out a systematic way to produce it over and over again. So that was key. But a lot was trial and error, especially early on. I wish I could say it was one person for sales, but it really wasn't. I mean, it was a culmination of trial and error, learning from experiences, reading books, opening my mind, expanding it. I definitely attended conferences and stuff too, but that was more overall like personal development versus just sales by itself.
Yeah, no, I love that answer because my experience is similar. I didn't have any, you know, like big mentor. I'm kind of a stubborn person. So sometimes I got to make a lot of mistakes and learn from them to get better at anything. And it served me well, but that, you know, for sales hustlers that are listening, like if you're struggling in your role or you're just like, don't have that mentorship, like just keep doing what you're doing and like learn from those mistakes because they're extremely valuable. You know, a lot of people can get frustrated or let it like totally throw off their mindset and like sales isn't for me. But if you stick the course and learn and use those opportunities to get better, it can serve you well in the long term.
Yeah, I think on top of that too, selling today in 2021, at the time it's recording, is so different than it was when I started. In 2007, like there wasn't cool podcasts like this, right? There wasn't like LinkedIn was like a recruiting platform. There wasn't really any sales blogs out there. There wasn't these tools and resources. All there was is old school books put out there with people who never sold before. That's all there was. So it's such a different world today where, you know, if you do your homework and you find the right people to follow on LinkedIn, you'll learn way more from that than probably when you and I started sales, where we were forced by the nature of the environment to just have to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great point. And that's why I think, you know, anybody who's maybe struggling to hit quota or having a hard time in their role, you got to take ownership for your personal and professional development. And I love what you said is that, you know, a lot of things that you invested in were actually your personal development, correct, which actually fueled your success and your professional, you know, your professional success, which I'm a huge believer that like investing in yourself personally is going to make you better in your role. But you got to take ownership, you know, like Marcus said, sales hustlers, there's so many resources out there today. Like you really have no excuse. And hey, you're investing in yourself right now if you're listening to this. So kudos to you. But there's lots of awesome people on LinkedIn like Marcus and other people that you can follow that give tons of stuff away for free all of the time, even if you can't afford their services. There's, you know, books and blogs and other great podcasts. Like there's so many resources that you could use to get better that it's really on you if you're not hitting your number.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, in order to acquire the right type of sales knowledge, there's really like three ways to do it. Number one, you take the time to do it, which is just trial and error, right? That's what you and I did, okay?
Yeah, number painful, two, long
it's
road.
It's really painful. Number two, you pay to acquire, right? So you're paying people to acquire their knowledge, right? That's mentorships, programs, etc. Or number three, it's a mixture of both. Like for me, even for my own business, it's a mixture of both. There's trial and error for sure, which is costing me time. And there's me spending lots of money to invest. Like for example, this year, I've already invested over $20,000 in my own mentors and coaches I pay to help make me better. Because again, I'm trying to expedite my speed because time is greater than money. So I want more time. So I'm paying the money to get the time back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a great example. All right. So let's dive into a topic that you love talking about. How to use LinkedIn the right way. And maybe we should start first with what not to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So the thing is, what's key to understand is LinkedIn is a tool just like any other tool out there. Any other sales enablement tool, whatever tool is you're already using for your business, for your pipeline. Understand that. And if you use it right, it's amazing and you can build an incredible pipeline and results and generate a ton of revenue and commissions for yourself. If you use it the wrong way, it's just a crappy tool. Okay, so that's the first thing to understand. And a lot of times what I see, and unfortunately it still happens nonstop, is number one, people are just blanket spamming people. So very generic templated message again sent out. Very common, they're like, okay, I'm gonna send as many as I can of these templated messages and I'm just gonna see what sticks. And there'll be either a full pitch message. That's what they do. That's the first thing, okay? The second big mistake I see people make is they say, oh, you know what? Oh, I heard you can generate inbound leads. I'm gonna start putting content out there. So they just start like, you know, sharing company blog posts, you know, webinars companies doing or whatever. And they're hoping, again, they can get inbound leads. You know, those are probably the two biggest, most common ones I see. Or number three, they don't do anything with it. So that's also a mistake too. Those are probably the most common ones. Fortunately, they're all very much fixable. So there's many ways we can tackle. So I'll let you guide me whichever way you want me diving in first. We'll dive in
first.
Yeah,
let's start with my favorite, which is the big long spam message in your DM, right? Typically asking for your time, adding zero value, and typically is even too long for you to give a shit to read. Sometimes it comes with a link for you to book some time in that first message. Everybody's seen these before. And LinkedIn has now thrown a wrench in that game plan where you can only send 100 a week rather than 100 a day. So you don't have as much shit to throw at the wall these days on this tool. So let's pick this one apart first. And what should people do different and what's working? And what do you teach folks?
Perfect. So number one, before we do any of all that, right? If you think about this, when you first get that message, whether it's a long, crappy message you're sending out, okay, or a really good one, they're going to check your profile out, right? So at that point, if you are sending directly a direct message, that means you're probably connected already. So it's not an in-mail. You send them a direct message, so you connected with them. So they probably checked your profile out, and they're like, okay, they don't seem like a spammer. Now, if you want to increase your chance of them actually responding, you want to make sure your profile is highly optimized. And what I mean optimized is it has to be able to show them you are a person of value and you can truly help them and you're not going to just spam them and be super annoying. So that means everything from, you know, do you have a good headshot that looks professional is what they're looking for, right? Your banner, is it clear how you can truly provide them value? Your tagline, is it clear exactly what you do and how you can help them? It can be funny in there, which is a totally great move as well. Your about section, you know, your summary, your historical, where you work, the feature section, all of that picture is basically a sales page. Like, if you do a good job with that, when they kind of glance through, like, okay, pretty reasonable. Now, after you message them, they're probably going to check out your profile again because they're probably just glancing. Now they might look in more detail. So again, you want to be able to showcase you are of value to them. So first, number one, optimize your profile. So if your target market was to look at your profile, they're like, this person potentially could help you. Maybe it's now, maybe it's in the future, who knows? But they see value in you. That's number one. Now, when you send your message, the second thing before you even send a message is number two, are they the right ICP, ideal customer profile? Did you actually do a hyper-targeted search of the right people? Really important. Yeah. Sometimes it's like the search
that's
is too general.
That's a small detail that a lot of people miss.
Totally.
I mean, I get messages where people are referring to me as an author, and I'm like, haven't wrote a book, but yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. I've got like, hey, I see you work at Forbes. I'm like, I don't work at Forbes. it just says I'm it's a totally different thing. Okay, they don't pay me any money. I wish.
Yeah.
So make sure it's an actual well done hyper targeted search, and that could be a Boolean search, it could be whatever. So just make sure you have a very good hyper targeted search, so your list you're building in there is the right person. Now, third, so when you're sending that message, I'm a firm believer, and let's just assume you're going to send it via the regular inbox instead of Sales Navigator in case you don't have Sales Nav. So if you are sending them a message within your regular inbox, I highly recommend the first message is actually a video message because this will cut right through the noise.
After the connection, after you're already connected.
Correct. After you're already connected.
So this could be if you've just connected with them, it's technically the second touch. If
Correct.
You are already connected, maybe in the past, the first touch of, you know, trying to drive the conversation or relationship.
100%. 100%. Yeah. It depends on where you are in that state. Could maybe you even engage on their content to build a little bit of awareness. Then you send a connection request and now you're going to send a message. So that first message you send them is really, really important because this is your opportunity now to really cut through the noise. So that's why I recommend the video function is one of the fastest ways to cut through the noise. And I recommend about a 20 to 30 second video. And your goal in there is, there's no pitch in there, but I'll really recommend dropping something of really high value for them with a very, very soft call to action. So for example, let's just say you are targeting an HR exec, okay? And by the way, what you give them shouldn't be like, you know, it shouldn't be something that's like, hey, book a call with me. That's not what they're looking for. Okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's just say,
not a good call to action.
But you think about what are the pain points an HR exec has? Maybe it's called turnover, right? If you're paying attention, the great resignation is coming right now, right? For everyone.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Maybe turnover is a big topic. So maybe your company, even though maybe you sell an HR software, but maybe they put together a blog post, you know, maybe a year ago, who knows, that's like 3 tips to reduce employee turnover that costs you nothing. That could be a value to an HR exec. Okay, so let's make it something up. Whatever is a value to them. So you take your phone out, iOS, Android, does not matter. You hit the plus sign to do a video, and you record a quick video. And it might sound something like this. It might be like, hey, Colin, Marcus here with ABC HR software. Hey, thanks so much for connecting. Hey, the reason I'm reaching out is my goal is to give massive value for HR execs. And actually, we put together a blog post, 3 tips to reduce turnover that cost you nothing. I thought you might enjoy it. Check it out. Have a great day. See ya. Boom. Send it over to them. Have a little bit of copy below, very short amount of text in case they watch the video or they can't watch the video because they're surrounded by loud noises or kids or whatever. So that way they can read that as well really quick. So very short, easy text, easy to read. No scrolling, okay? Boom. They get that. Now your chances of them opening that up and watching, like, oh, wow, they stood out. Okay, that's a value.
Right. Now, question, are you sending them the link to the blog?
Yeah, a link to the blog as well. Exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right.
Or are you waiting for them to say, like, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting, and then send them the link?
You could do either. So if you want, both work pretty well. This way, you know, it depends on... If they're like a really cold prospect, they know nothing about you, maybe work for a small company, I find sometimes it's nice to have a little bit of credibility. They click on it, wherever they go, hopefully if your company's done a good job, it may nurture them some more. And if there's other really valuable content on the blog site or wherever you're sending it to, that could really nurture them even more. So that's some of the top of funnel content that they could see, be like, oh, wow. And they might go down a rabbit hole potentially. Again, more and more nurtured by some of these articles. It's like, oh, you read this article. Maybe you'll see this post interesting too. Oh, yeah, actually, you know what? That is really interesting. Before you know it, maybe they consume 30 minutes of content, and now they're more open as a result. So we don't really know. So you can go either way. There's no right or wrong. Test it for sure. Because obviously, if it's a really crappy article, it's not going to convert. Okay, like if it's zero value. So it's got to be something high value that you offer up.
And if you wanted to do a little bit of a longer video, you could give them a little recap of what to expect in there and let them raise their hand before you send it. Because if they're super cold and you just connected, right? Sometimes sending a link could come off. Mm-hmm. Even though you are really genuinely trying to add value, there's so many people before you that have unfortunately ruined it. So you send them a link and immediately, you know, they can kind of like shut down. It's like, oh, I'm not interested.
Totally.
Not going to read this, clicking this.
That's exactly right. This is why you have to test it, right? What's also key to understand too is how you deliver on video is key too. Because
let's say
you're shitty on video. Well, number one, work on it, okay? Like, are you looking in the camera? Do you have decent lighting? Are you bringing the energy? Does your background convey you are a pro or an amateur? So like, let's just say for example, like, I don't know, like you're in an apartment. And you have like pictures of like, I don't know, weird stuff on the wall or something, like weird posters or
dirty laundry in the background,
Bob Marley smoking like a joint. I mean, which might work for some industries, but if they're like a really conservative industry, then I'm like, who is this guy or gal shooting this video? So just be really cautious.
The angle of your camera matters. The lighting matters. I had Mario Martinez on not too long ago, and he told me a little tip that I never really thought of before. So many people tend to just smile, like, you know, right, and looking at the camera. But, you know, when you send that video, there's a big play button right in the center of your face. So it's not as inviting. So you actually want to go like out of frame a little bit and smile. Mm-hmm. That way, when they see the video, they can see your face with the smile rather than just your face with a big play button in the middle. So, you know, little, you know, I don't know how much of a big difference it makes, but those small little details add up. You know, if you're following all of those things, you know, maybe you get 10 to 20% more people to watch your video, which could make a huge difference.
Totally. And it's like, and think about even the vibe you bring on the video. Like if you're like, hey, Colin, thanks for connecting. Like, okay, that dude's super boring. I don't want to talk to that guy. Like, I mean, like, do you, I don't care what you sell. Like, you can be selling the most boring thing in the world, but do you have some energy and enthusiasm in your own way? It's authentic and real to that person. And it doesn't have to be a perfect video. It's okay if you don't say the right thing or if you stumble over your words a little bit, but just be real, laugh it off, keep going, because people enjoy
it. It's actually better if it's not perfect.
Totally. Totally. So I'll do videos like maybe my kiddos like right behind me, you know, like that's always a fun thing too, especially if I know they're at the demographic where they're most likely to have kids. Huge connection right there. Oh, you know, he's so cute, you know. She's so cute. Like, well, it's actually a boy. He's got long hair. And it's funny, right? Now we have a conversation going, right? So, So, again, those things really matter, all right? Because that now leads to, you know, like, you know, if you did an interest one, hey, you know, if you're interested, let me know. I'll shoot it over to you. Yeah, I am. Cool. Now I have a little bit of dialogue. Now you can open that conversation a little bit, right? You send it over. Cool. You wait a couple of days. It's so much easier now to, hey, what did you think? Love to get your feedback on that. People love the word feedback. So now you're naturally open to more real conversation. So that's how you do a message like that. Now, if you are using Sales Navigator, you know, and I should clarify too, like for some people when they do in the inbox, they will use a third party tool like a BombBomb or Vidyard, Loom. Those can work too. I've tested both. I found native in the app is still the highest response rate, just because I think there's less friction of having to go somewhere else, right? Probably because of the link thing like you mentioned. So I have found if you do native in the app, it's best. But if you are in Sales Navigator, you do have you can't do a video natively in the app. So you have to do like a Vidyard or something else, like, you know, Loom.
Yeah, so. I honestly don't know how many people are sending messages in Sales Navigator. I get them occasionally, but they do come off as a little spammy. So. Yeah. You know, is coming in as an in mail, you know.
So I wouldn't do in mail, by the way. That's a great point. So if you are using Sales Navigator, what I mean specifically is don't send them via in mail. You still want to be connected with them first. So connect with them and then send a message.
So got it. But you need to send it from the regular inbox, not the Sales Nav inbox, if you want to use video.
Exactly. Well, you can do, I mean, if you do Sales Navigator inbox, it just has to be a third party app. That's the only thing. If you use inbox, it's clunky because it's like you build a list in Sales Nav.
Yeah.
And then if you are going through in that list and now messaging the people to have to go into your phone now, it's clunky. But sometimes you want to be hyper efficient. You're like, okay, you know what? My energy is high. I've had over last week 50 connection acceptances. I'm going to spend all day today filming videos. It's a little bit easier to be like filming on Vidyard or Loom because you can pull up their profile, they can see themselves, and boom, it's nice and clean. So there's some nice things you can do with it as well. But again, I don't know why it's a LinkedIn thing. But regardless,
I know LinkedIn. What's up? You know, two inboxes. What's the deal,
dude? It's confusing. Like, you know, that's what happens. But that's how you do the video piece. That's really, really powerful for opening conversations. Because obviously, if you sprinkle in other pieces of other touches as well, such as a phone call or email in between, depending on that, and interacting with their content they are posting it, now you're creating this omnipresent feel around and you're building awareness and trust. Because sometimes it may require 8-9 different touches before they even respond to your first video. And hopefully, in the perfect world, they watch it, they respond immediately. Not always the case. Sometimes you still need to continue to nurture and guide move to get them to be more open to at least a conversation.
Yeah. And there's a detail that you mentioned a few times that I just want to make sure sales hustlers don't overlook, is everything that you've been talking about is driving with the goal of having a conversation.
That's right.
Right? Not the goal of booking a meeting, not the goal of like, you know, it's a total mind shift of like, you need to book the meeting or get the demo or whatever the case is. But when you focus on just connecting with the right people, adding value and driving conversations, it actually becomes a lot more fun.
It totally does. It totally does. Now, and then the next thing is, I think a key thing to talk about, if you're open to it, talk about how to use content to help with that. Because I see a lot of people trying to
post
content.
So you talked a lot about like really dialing in the profile, make sure that you're, you know, using all of that real estate from the headline to the, you know, to the banner background, you know, good headshot, featured content, about, you know, all of that stuff, get that dialed in so that when you do, you know, connect or send that message, you look like somebody who's not going to, you know, send them a bunch of junk or stuff of no value, or just ask and not give, right? So that's number one. Before you even start messaging people, right? Messaging people in the right way, using video, following up. Don't expect everybody just, you know, don't send 50 videos and nobody replies and be like, man, video doesn't work. You know, like you still might have to follow up three or four times on the video, or even send a second video to get them to pay attention. Because if you've used LinkedIn at all, you know how frustrating the inbox is. It's hard to stay on top of it.
Things get lost.
Some people don't check it. Some people get too many. You know, you see it on your phone, and then you get busy and you do something else and you forget to reply. Like, yeah, you got to bump that thing back up to the top.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's just, it's a lot of times people will say, oh, I tried a video. It didn't work. Well, do more videos, first off, to get a better gauge of it, get better at video. But also, do you have a good follow-up sequence, too? Because people are busy. Like, people are just legitimately busy. Like, an exec is not going to spend all day on LinkedIn. Most of them are not. Like they don't have time for that. So they might check that, like, twice a week at best, okay?
Yeah.
So that's why you have to make every touch point really count when you're doing the outreach. And this is why you actually need to mix up other ways of reaching out as well. You can't be a one-hit wonder. I'm only LinkedIn outreach. No, you need other ways too, because some are better via phone, some are better via email, some are more present on a Facebook group, some are better versus on a Twitter DM, some are better on a Reddit thread. Where are they at? That's where you got to go hang out with them, right? That's the key.
Yeah. All right, so how can content, because I think this is a part that people miss, right? Like, I think that a lot of sellers don't really understand or haven't maybe made the connection that, like, okay, I'm doing LinkedIn, I'm sending messages, I'm connecting, but it's not working, right? Yeah. Well, content plays a huge role in how well those things work, right? If you're not doing what's the lift in, like, response rates and conversations driven for people that are putting content versus not? Do you know, or, like, what have you seen?
Oh, I have no idea, but I know it helps me a lot in my business. It helps people do it a lot, right? Because but the thing is doing it right. That's a key. It's how do you do content right? And I'm not saying, like, every single sales hustler out there needs to be a Gary Vaynerchuk pumping out. I'm not saying that. And that's the mistake some people make. And also, like, don't be fooled based off what people's follower count and amount of likes, engagement, and posts has, that they are actually generating real opportunities off it.
Yeah.
And a lot of time I see that. Like, I've seen people with incredible followings, and then they go, like, I'm going to start my own business, and they flop.
Yeah.
If it looks
good,
they
might not have the right people. They might, you know, I mean, there's so many things, right?
Correct.
So doing content right, kind of sticking with that theme, like, and you see it even, and it even happens in the sales world. Like, you see a lot of salespeople posting sales content, and it's like, okay, if you sell to sellers, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
But not everybody sells to sellers.
Right.
So how is posting sales content adding value to the people that you want to drive conversations with?
Exactly right. So if you think about this, because this is all part of an overall LinkedIn or even a social selling strategy, if you've done a really good job targeting people and you're building an audience of the right followers, your target market, your ICP, and you're sending out messaging as well, and you now know them inside and out, the content you create should serve that target market. That's the key. So if going back to the HR exec example, are you creating content that serves them, that's of value to them, highly valuable, and it's going to help them? And that's what you got to focus on. And it's not about, your goal is not to get likes and whatever. Your goal is, can I show them I actually know what I'm talking about? And I'm not just any other salesperson who's spamming messages out there, but now I'm actually producing things that are of high value. That's not a pitch. So sometimes I see is, you know, the posts that some salespeople will put out there are just pitches. You know, hey, we have this, you know, we're super helpful. We have this brand new product we just came out with, brand new service. You know, let me know if you have any questions, if you want to jump on a call. Crickets across the board, right? So instead, create content that's going to be of value to them. So for example, if you are on sales calls with HR execs and you're uncovering some really key pain points and heartburns and issues they're running into, how could you create content that's going to be a salesperson for you, that you could solve a problem for them. What is it going to be, right? So say, for example, you know, maybe it's, we'll go back to the turnover issue, right? If they have a real huge issue of turnover and they know it's costing them literally thousands and thousands of dollars a year, you know, could you create content surrounding that? You don't know what to write about? That's okay. Go on to Amazon and find the most common books they're probably getting. All right. Yeah. Maybe it's on turnover. You get the book, I don't know, 7 Hidden Reasons Why Employees Quit You or something like that, right? Go into the reviews. Look for the 2 to 4 star reviews. What are people posting in there and complaining about the book on? What are they not covering? Write content about that. Okay. Or maybe, you know what, you get the book, you read the book, and let's say it's 15 chapters. Take one nugget from each chapter and create a story and turn it into a post. Okay. 15 chapters, 15 posts right there. Done. Right. It could be video, it could be text, it could be whatever. But again, it's a value to the target market. All right.
Yeah. So you could actually mix it up. You could take one concept or topic and you could do a text post, you could do a video post, you could do a quote card, you could create something. And you could repurpose that in many different ways over a course of time, because only single digit percentage of people in your network are going to see your content. And if you post the same thing in a different way, 30, 45, 60 days later, it's not going to matter.
Oh, yeah. And sometimes the timing is so key, too. So wherever that person is may hit them differently. You know, now they're in a different frame of mind because of the situation or whatever. Like, oh, you know what? Oh, Johnny just quit last week. You know what? Oh, that's such a good point. So now they're buying into you and the company. They're not buying into your product. They're buying into you and the company to be more open to conversation. So maybe you already sent them a video message. Maybe you already tried calling and emailing. But now they see, like, oh, wow. And now they go and like your post. And now, or they engage. Oh, you know what? Like, Colin, that was the way you explained that. That was really insightful.
Or even just taking, even just taking your sales conversations and dissecting them into content ideas.
100%. So there's content everywhere, and depending on how you want to do it, right? I find stories are very powerful, right? Being able to share a story or an analogy can be a really great way to transfer certain specific concepts that can really help as well. So you can create a lot of things. Now, if you want to get super ninja strategic, you start breaking down the most common objections why your buyers are not buying, and you create content to diffuse them up front in the content. And you start selling against the objections in your content. That's a little more advanced, but that's how you can start really utilizing content as a way to be a salesperson for you. So if you picture this, you've called them, you've emailed them, they know you're calling, they know you're emailing, you're messaging them. This is all obviously not all one day, all throughout maybe days, weeks, months, etc. It's all spread out. And now on top of that, you have a content that they're seeing, they're getting nurtured by. And then it could be, I can't tell you the number of times someone said, hey, Marcus, I finally decided to start working with you because you wrote this post the other day.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
And the interesting thing is those conversations with those people aren't coming in off the people who liked and commented. Right. Most times I found that they're coming off the lurkers, man. The people that you're connected with, the right people. They're seeing your content. You're staying top of mind. If you're a little bit more advanced, you're even engaging with their content if they're putting any out. And then they slide into your DMs and like, hey, I'm ready to have a conversation now.
Totally. And that is so powerful, right? And the thing is, like, you know, if you have Sales Navigator, also I love Sales Navigator. Like, if you have a list of people that you have built your target market, the thing is, you can be very much top of mind in their mind by engaging on content because you have your own feed on Sales Navigator of their stuff, of people in your list that are commenting and posting stuff. So now you can go and just be present.
I know. That's my favorite feature. It's my favorite feature.
It's so simple.
Other than search, unused. I mean, without search, forget it. But before they had that feature, I used to have a big Google sheet of people's LinkedIn activity URLs. Yeah. Right. And I'd spend 15, 20 minutes a day like, here's all the people that matter that I want to stay top of mind. Click, see if they put anything out. If they did, say something thoughtful. Not just don't just like it. Like, inject yourself and show your thoughts around whatever they said. Correct. You know, you got to stand out, right? Just like how the video stands out in the inbox, you got to stand out in their comments. And in a lot of cases, most of them probably aren't getting a lot of comments.
Correct.
Depending, but I would say the vast majority, you know, a comment alone stands out. In a lot of cases, But yeah, I love that feature. So if you don't know what it is, basically you have your own feed of the people you care most about in your sales nav, because you can't rely on the algorithm to just serve you the people that matter most or spend hours looking for them.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And the cool thing is like, if you're engaging with their content, if you share their content, now you're getting a little bit of an ego boost, because you know they are out there. These platforms are designed to suck you in, to want you to want likes and engagement. So now, like, no one's, if they have like zero engagement on that post, you went and liked it, you commented, and then you shared it, now you're standing out even more. Now, don't just like share, like, this is cool. Like, drop something very insightful in your shared post of their content. And now they're going to feel even better. So now they are, it's so much easier to even just send them a message after that. Like, hey, you know what? Like, even if you've been engaging for a while and they haven't been responding, I loved your post today. You know, hope you don't mind that I shared it. Boom. They're like, yeah, that was awesome. Thank you for sharing. Again, conversation open again. So now
and
you can just
I'm
start
telling
re-engaging.
You this, I mean, I know that you know it works, right? Because this is what you're doing. And I can tell you it works as well, because a lot of things we're talking about are things that I do, right?
And
I'll give you Sales Hustlers a quick example. You know, I had somebody who I met on LinkedIn. Didn't make sense for us to do business together. I added a tremendous amount of value to that relationship. Wasn't a good fit, not a big deal. Referred me somebody, you know, 3-6 months later. That person had set up a call. They were promoting some sort of event. I shared and helped promote that on my feed. We hopped on a sales call the next week, and we closed that deal within 24 hours. Like, it works.
Exactly.
It works. It takes a lot of work and a lot of discipline and really committed to doing things right, the way that, you know, Marcus is kind of laying out this playbook here. But, you know, there's no silver bullet. Like, you got to do all of these things right. Like, the content helps increase the, you know, conversion to conversations from the DMs. Like, you know, engaging with people, even because they're not engaging with you, can help, you know, increase those conversations, right? So all of these things, you know, help each other.
Yes. Yeah. They work very cohesively. And the key is, nothing's going to be perfect, but doing consistently, being able to show up consistently is really, really powerful. Most salespeople will maybe have one or two pieces of outreach and then they kind of give up and they kind of move on. But, you know, if you're an enterprise salesperson, if you're an enterprise seller, you know, you only have so many opportunities that can be that big. So you can't let those go. But even if you're in the SMB space, you don't want to just treat it that way. I mean, each relationship is vitally important. So being able to show up consistently and engage with them is very, very powerful. And when you do it consistently, this is how you start building a brand reputation. So people start saying, okay, you know what? Because sometimes it's just timing. Because maybe, who knows, when you initially had reached out, maybe their business going through some, you know, maybe a weird thing, you know, because of COVID. Who knows? So they are interested, but the timing is not right. But because you're so consistent with showing up, and even after your hours, maybe months later, your content is what hooks them. They see something of value. This applies across the board from your stories that you put up there as well. They finally see, like, you know what? Okay. Now they're thinking about you. And I think about it, it's kind of like the old school, like, mailers. Mailers still work, actually. Like, I think about, like, I get mailers every single day from, like, lawn care, whatever, right? And most are pretty inconsistent, but I'm there's one local guy. And he, like, every few months, he sends me a mailer for cleaning gutters. It's one of those things, like, you don't clean gutters all the time. Like, you know, it's just like every few months he sends me that, right? Because he's consistent. Yeah. He's got me on a cadence, right? A mailing cadence. And I'm like, I'm only thinking about, okay, you know, I see him, like, whatever. It's the same guy, him and his family and his pictures. And then finally, when I'm like, I need to get done, I call that guy. Because
of course,
he's been top of mind.
He might send you 50 mailers before you need... Yeah. Your gutter's cleaned.
Yeah.
But, I mean, here's the thing. You're not calling the person who didn't send you the mailer.
No, because it's top of mind. And so, sometimes, as you know, sometimes just the right timing and right place has nothing to do with how good you are, nothing how to do with your sales, you know, cadence. It's just right timing. You just happen to hit someone at that right time. And that's why, like, people are scared of content, but content is such a powerful tool, because it could be that person that helps sell for you consistently. It could help you go nonstop. Like, for example, like, you know, even for my own business to extend the life of content. Because right now, you have about 24, 48 hours of lifespan on a post. You put it out there for that. But mm-hmm. I repurpose the content onto my Facebook page, and I use that for retargeting ads. And I push it out. So I'm reusing that asset over and over. Now, you're not going to do that as a salesperson, but I share that with you because I know the content's so good that sometimes someone needs to see it multiple times. And when the timing is right, that's when it hits them. They're like, ooh, I need help now. I'm going to reach out to this Marcus guy. And that's your goal, to be able to do that, because you have to mix everything all together. This is why in sales, the scoreboard is important in terms of, you know, how you finish a month, a quarter. That's important to a certain extent. But you can't always control the score on the scoreboard. But you can always control your effort leading up to the game. And that's why it's so key that you're always consistent with your effort, you know, for sales, for your outreach and your pipeline. Because sometimes you're gonna bang out months, month after month, but sometimes you'll just have a lull. But if you are consistent with your outreach, consistent with your pipeline, consistent with LinkedIn, they can offset each other over time, and you're able to continue to rise up because you are so consistent.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. So consistency is the key in everything that we talked about today. Marcus, thanks so much for coming on and talking about these topics. It was a lot of fun. Tons of value here for all the sales hustlers that were listening. Any final thoughts, anything you want to leave them with, any links that we can share in the show notes for them?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, Colin, thanks so much for having me on. Absolute blast. I love talking sales, as I know you do as well. So if we're not connected on LinkedIn, connect me on LinkedIn. It's Marcus Chan, the only guy with Speedos in the tagline, because I did sell Speedos at one point. If you want some more free resources, head over to sixfiguresalesacademy.com. Head over there. I have free trainings, free whatever in there. You're absolutely going to love as well.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And if you enjoyed today's episode, you know, please write us a review, share the show with your friends. And as always, we're listening for your feedback.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Sales Hustle. Are you a sales professional looking to take your sales career to the next level? If the answer is yes, then I want you to go over to salescast.co. Check us out, and if you feel that you are ready, set up a time to talk with me and my co-founder, Chris. I'm your host, Colin Mitchell, and if you enjoyed this episode, feel free to leave us a review and share the podcast with your friends.